I don't know how many times we've been here, but every time we come, we're amazed at the goodness of God. This is a city that I love. This is a city where I spent many years in. I wasn't born here, but I was born again here. Not in this tent, but in the city. And so it's a place special in our hearts. And so when we come, it really, although it might be a priority, it's not hard work to come. It's a delight to come. And can I just say that just keep on making simple decisions for Jesus. The future is far better than you can imagine. You sometimes we want to figure it out too much. Don't worry about figuring out too much. Just say yes to today and tomorrow and the day after. And the King will lead you forward. So ma'am, just keep saying yes to Jesus, whoever you might be. I find it a real privilege, overwhelming to be here. Father, I just thank you for this privilege. Would you lead us now by your Holy Spirit? I've been muted. And come and change our hearts, our minds, and our very lives. We pray in Jesus' name. I want to read a big piece of scripture today. It's the longest story in the book of Acts. And it's an important story. It gets told twice. It gets told in Acts chapter 10 and it gets told again in Acts chapter 11. It seems like God wants us to listen to the story. And we've been going through a series on the book of Acts, which we finished recently, and we've also been going through a series on faith. And so both these things come out of this chapter, and it's been very, very inspiring. And I hope that it will come and encourage you on your way. I don't think that it's a very simple story. But there's some profound little things in it. And I write the story and I say, God, what is the summary of this chapter? It's the famous chapter of Peter going for what he says is prayer. I don't know if you guys ever had that prayer. You go for a prayer and then you end up going from holy prayer into holy snooze. And then you go into holy snooze. And then you start dreaming about the next holy thing, which is food. I don't know if anybody had that. Last night I was sitting in my bed and I was praying on my head. I was sitting at the head of my bed praying, and my wife said after a while, "You're no longer praying, you're snoring." And I said, "No, I'm praying. I tell you, I'm praying." I think Peter had one of those moments. So it's such a cool story, but there's some real principles here in this story. And I titled it something like this: "A church that attracts the power and presence of God." And this chapter so expresses a few things that it just seems to attract the presence of God and attracts the power of God. And I think many of those things are already evident here. But let's read the story because it's a long one, and they might just mute me again. So let's go for it quickly. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as verse 1 as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he said. The angel answered, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, about 9 the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. It's like he's saying it's a preposterous suggestion. "Surely not, Lord." And there's exclamation marks. I mean, just say that once to God. Don't repeat it to God when you say it. I see Peter listens after one time. "Surely not, God." And then he feels what's coming. Peter replies, "I have not eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." And Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. And the following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." And while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. And so when I was sent for, I came without raising objection. May I ask why you've sent for me?" And Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this very hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. And so I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of the Lord to hear everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" And Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. And he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him. And he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God had appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. It's just a wonderful passage of scripture. Sometimes it's good to read a lot of scripture. Sometimes we don't have time, it seems, in our messages to read scripture. But scripture speaks so powerfully for itself that it's so simple, actually, when you do read big passages of scripture, just to sometimes take a little bit and take a little bit there. I want to say that I've seen this church in 5 years that we had the privilege of coming here first time to now being transformed. I want to commend the elders, and I commend Rory and Mal. We have been here on the day of your handover on the 22nd of April 2013. I know it because we also took over on the 22nd of April 2011. And so I could remember the date. But I remember standing here for the first time. And maybe up to the camera were the seats. And that's way beyond the camera. And the evening service is beyond the camera. And it's beyond the walls. And it's into the city. and it's beyond the city, and it's into the nations, and it's into the departments, and it's into all sorts of areas where no one could previously go. I want to say this church has been transformed. This is an example of from glory to glory. And can I commend you on it? We saw last night a practical example of glory to glory. Well, yesterday morning when we saw Giorgio's first picture and then his second picture, it was a practical example of going from some sort of glory to another. But the second was far greater than the first. What can I say here? This is a church that we're seeing transformed. And the presence of God comes amongst us, and the word of God comes so powerfully through the speaker and through the words, and it comes so powerfully amongst us, and it starts to transform us. It's not just so we can come and have a nice message and, well, we did our religious duty, but we get transformed as the word of God comes in power by the Spirit. And we see what has happened here. There's so many things in this passage of scripture that many of us here in South Africa can connect with. Do you know that this is amongst the Roman occupation? There's another lot of people that are coming in. They've taken the land of the people. They've come and brought a political will over others. There's hostility. The Jews are marginalized. There's fear. The church is being persecuted by the Pharisees. Stephen has just been stoned. It's a tough time. Yet in the midst of a tough time, God seems to act. And God breaks in. He breaks in despite culture barriers. He breaks in despite religious barriers. Cornelius and them are unsaved. He is the oppressor. He is the chief, the head policeman. He's the one that hates the people. In fact, he's been sent on a commission. Subdue them and bring our rule and reign from Rome. And yet there's these things within his heart that are so radical that it starts to transform. And he gets well known for all these incredible things. And then on the other hand, you have the disciples who've been 3 years with Jesus. They've heard everything he says, yet they actually still can't grasp what he's told them to do. And God has to bring this great persecution upon the church. And we see Peter just starting to jaunt out a little bit. And he only jaunts out because Philip and them were scattered after Stephen was killed. And then him and John go to Samaria, where they hear there's a bit of a revival going on. And so they get out of Jerusalem and they start going. And suddenly they discover what's going on. And you read further in Acts chapter 10, he finds himself in a place called Lydda. And then from Lydda, he says, and there he healed a man. And then because the man was healed, they heard from him in Joppa. Joppa is modern day Jaffa in Israel. And they hear from him, and there's a lady called Dorcas who's dead. And so Peter says, well, it's 47 kilometers from Jerusalem. But he ventures further. And we just slowly see the church coming out, breaking out of its comfort zone, breaking out of its culture, breaking out of its religion. And suddenly God says, but there's more. And he goes into Dorcas is healed from the dead. And suddenly the story starts going around. My goodness, there's a man called Peter. Meantime, there's this oppressor called Cornelius. And he's a kind man. He's a civil servant. He's given great authority. He's probably given great power. You think of our dark past as South Africans. You think of our current history. Men in power who have been placed there. Can I say not all of them are bad men? This is not a bad man. But he does not know the truth. But says something in his heart that reflects something of a godliness. He's God-fearing. Where does he hear that from? Where does that come from? He's generous. He's kind. He's praying. My goodness, an unsaved man praying. I have a boss in Qatar. He's a Cornelius. He's a Muslim man. He's one of the most generous people I've ever known. He's a kind man. He prays five times a day. I sometimes don't pray five times a day. He does not know God. But he's praying. He's calling out to God regularly. And every day that I remember, I pray for him. I say, God, this man, one day we'll have an encounter like Cornelius. Let me tell you, the city is filled with Corneliuses. This nation is filled with Corneliuses, but it needs the church to break out of its zones and to break out of its culture and to break out of its norms to find those Corneliuses. Peter, my goodness, Jews don't associate with Gentiles. When you have to do that, you have to go and wash yourself. When for the people that I live with, they pray five times a day. Before they pray, they have to go and get washed. When I shake their hands, after they go into the bathroom, they wash their hands. Because they've met with an infidel. They've met with an unbeliever. All the day long, I am bringing dirt to them in their minds. That's what's happening to Peter. They have ablution blocks before they go pray. And then you hear, wow, the guy calling, and then suddenly the guys go. Where they were going. Remember when I first got to Cape Town, I needed to go to the loo. And I thought, and I was in this mall. And I was looking, where's the mall? And I said, this must be the place. Everyone's going in. I went in there. I'm looking for the urinal, confronting the urinal everywhere. I thought, well, this must be urinal. And I went there, walked out. And then suddenly I heard the call to prayer. And everyone came to wash their feet there. And I thought, what an idiot. I have just offended the whole nation. I mean, so all day long they're washing and they're spitting and they, but they're so aware that they've got to clean themselves all the time because there's these people that keep on making them dirty. Wow. Peter's in the same way. God breaks in supernatural and says, church, Peter, break out of this. My goodness, break out. And he's there praying and God, we know the story, we've just read it. And there's some principles here that I think as a church in modern day South Africa, and actually it's not a modern day South Africa, it's a church around the world, needs to hear. So wonderful to hear Terry Williams preaching about the whole just reaching out in terms of evangelism and how to go about it. It's such a wonderful reminder for us as why we meet and what are we doing in this community that God's called us into. I think some of those principles we get to find here. Because there's Cornelius is crying out. First thing I love is there's no delay in Peter. As God speaks to him, that day, 12 o'clock, that afternoon, the guys arrive. The next morning, he goes. The church is filled with unnecessary delays so often. I don't know about you. Oh, God spoke to me in 1929. I remember, I love testimonies, but I sometimes get frustrated when somebody comes and says, in 1984, the Spirit fell in Durban. The Spirit has not stopped falling. And this is constant. The God just keeps on doing it. And he's saying, today he's speaking. Yes, this weekend he spoke to so many. He spoke to me. He challenged me on so many issues. And I tell you, I'm going back. And there's some of these things I'm not going to delay no more. I think there's delay factors that have been working. I'll tell you, you want to attract the power of God. They start obeying him and start no longer delaying so much. Peter responds, boom. Today he hears, tomorrow he goes, journeys. And where does he go? It's not a great thing. And same as Cornelius. I mean, Cornelius hears, he doesn't even know what an angel is. He's an unbeliever. He hears the angel, straight away he responds. He gets his trusted guys, he gets a soldier, and he sends them on the way. From where he heard, from Caesarea to Joppa is 53 kilometers. Anybody walked 53 kilometers recently? I prayed this morning. God spoke to me. Where are you going? I've got to go and walk 53 kilometers. Cornelius is an unsaved man, has more faith than most believers. Well, all of us sit and hear the word all day long and we never respond. The unbeliever hears one angel straight away. Best man, now you get on the job. He responds. He's prepared to be inconvenienced. 53 kilometers. You can't Uber it. My son loves Uber. My sons and my daughter, the other two that are at home, not son's son, and they think Uber is the most incredible invention, and it is where Qatar is. And we were thinking of sometime sending him down to South Africa and go to Pietermaritzburg, and he said, I could Uber to the farm. I said, but buddy, Uber doesn't go everywhere in the world. No, it does, Dad. It goes everywhere. I said, it doesn't. These guys didn't have Uber. They didn't even have a car train. Sorry, you guys don't have a car train either that's working. It'll work soon. But it's an inconvenience to go walking 53 kilometers. Some of us can't even come to church on time. Gee, we have African time where we are. We have Indian time. We have Arabic time. It means we have no time. It's all together. My friend Jamon, I heard the guy say, what's it, George yesterday? What time we finish? 11-ish. You know what ish means? Indian standard hour. My friend Jamon is an Indian surgeon. He said, Rob, you know what ish is? Indian standard hour. We don't know what it means. And he's a surgeon. God speaks. People delay. People wait. People's too tough. I can't do it. 53 kilometers. No Uber. Petrol's too much. Can you imagine if Cornelius had those responses to the angel? Who would he have gone to? Imagine if Peter had that response to the Spirit. Who would have been sent? I just see that these things, no delay, prepare to be inconvenienced, attracts the power of God. I have a friend called Ilias. He planted a church. Dave and Kathy go there often. Ilias and Vula, they planted a church in Athens amongst the refugees. Amazing guy. I've spoken to him before. But I was so challenged in my heart just how this man is prepared to be inconvenienced for the gospel. All these Syrian refugees, Ed and I went there with a bunch of people, and there was no housing. And so they camp in tents on the port. And it's hot in Europe at the moment. And so it'll be 39, 38. The people are staying in these little tents in the sun. It is hot, it's sweaty, it's horrible. And so he initially was not allowed access to these refugees to be able to speak the gospel. So what he did was to start a practical thing. He'd go with his old clapped out Opel Astra station wagon. It's honestly, it was clapped out. He'd drive with it down. He'd pick up as many as he could, put them in his car, drive home, and he'd open his bathroom and shower and say, come and shower. He'd give them fresh towels. He'd give them shampoo. He'd give them soap. He said, come. And he'd break down the barriers of these dirty people, the refugees. They're not European, they're Muslim, they're this, they're that. What happened? God started to move mightily. A church was planted, refugee camps started opening because these people were so kind. They just broke the barriers. Prepare to be inconvenienced. Dave and Kathy were at labor camp. Ed and I went to this same labor camp about 2 years ago. And when we went into the labor camp, hundreds of people, we weren't allowed to preach or bring the gospel. They said, all you can do if you want to is clean up the camp. So all we did was we picked up rubbish all day long. We just cleaned up the camp wherever we could. Now, 2 years later, they've got access to have Bible study in the camp. And on their 34th anniversary, 3 weeks ago, Dave and Kathy got to lead a family of six to Christ in that very camp because one man was prepared to be inconvenienced for the gospel. Now there's a family celebrating Jesus. What a way to spend your 34th anniversary. I see this. This is what it's like here. And it attracts the power of God. When the church is prepared to say, it's not a works, but I'm prepared because everything's been given to me to pay the price. What price are you prepared to pay? I remember Dave all saying, are you prepared to give up your bed? When someone visits, Rory gave up his home recently. That's paying the price. Why do you think God keeps on breaking into his life? I'm so challenged by these things. My friend Navraj, when we visit him in Nepal, he says, Rob, you can have our room. Thank you, Navraj. The problem with Navraj, he's a very short Nepali. He's like this. And when I fit in his bed, I have to lie from one corner to the other to fit in. But I sleep uncomfortably, but joyously. Because he's given up his bed for Rob. I'm challenged by these things, my friends. But I see these things that the church carries out of this book just attracts the presence and power of God. I see another thing. Peter arrives. The house is full of people. Cornelius is an evangelist before he's saved. His house is full of people. His family's there. His friends are there. Imagine this. I said, Cornelius, what are you inviting us to? Well, I saw an angel. What's an angel? It's a man, big man with shiny clothes. Well, what about him? He said, I'm a send for this man. Where's this man? In Joppa. Where's that? 50 kilometers away. Now, can you imagine the people? What is he going to come do? He's going to come talk to us. What is he going to say? I don't know. When is he going to come? I don't know. How long will he be? I don't know. But you must come now and get ready. My goodness. How did they know? There's no email. How did he know that Peter was going to arrive when he arrived? But he arrives and the whole house is full, ready for Peter to come. He's a greater evangelist than you and I could possibly ever be. Rob, Rory's coming. Wow. Would you, my family, would you guys come? Well, who's Rory? Why would you? When is he coming? Well, he's coming next week. Maybe. We have it all so worked out, and yet with all our working out, we don't reflect the faith of this man at all. He doesn't know the time. He doesn't know when. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know. He's a Jew. The Jews don't talk to Gentiles. He's going to come, guys. And he brings all these boys. And they're there ready to receive him. He's an incredible. I tell you, and when they receive Peter, there is such an expectation for who's coming. You know, I come to church. We come to church. Many of us come to church. Let me tell you, when we come to church, and our greatest expectation of meeting with God is seeing the car guard doing his incredible job, giggling over there and making the coffee. And if these are our expectations when we come to church, we are downgrading what God wants to do. These guys are sitting there waiting. What will this man tell us to change our lives? How do we come to church? Oh, we're just going to church because of what we do on Sundays. And then we go home and have horrible chicken lunches. That's what we do. No, but can you imagine the expectation of these people receiving something from God? And it's not just about coming to church expecting, because we are the church. Amen. And so it's expecting the church power here to come, but it's also when we go from here. How many times do we go from here and expect God to move in our daily lives? And can I say to you, Jesus is with us all the time. The Spirit of God is with us and in us all the time. Every day there should be an expectation God could break in now. It can't just be on Sunday mornings between 9:30 and 11. That's when God moves. God sleeps the week, and then 9:30 to 11, he just rouses himself a bit. Actually, that's not the King. But if our expectation is right down here, I wonder sometimes if the King will actually rouse himself. He will be there because he's always manifest there. But will he come and manifest himself in power and presence when we have no expectation that he'll come in here? Can I say that our expectation is his invitation? If we expect to encounter God, I want to tell you, you've got a very good chance that you'll be encountered by God. Because you've asked him to encounter you. You've set your heart aside and said, God, I want to be encountered today. I want to be encountered more outside of church. When I'm sitting and talking to people on planes and wherever it might be. But our expectation needs to be his invitation. Our expectation when we're sitting in our quiet time. Do you still read your Bible? Just quickly get it finished? Or I haven't done it for 4 weeks. I better do it quickly. God, you're so quiet nowadays. And then we do it like that. Or do we go and still expect to hear from the King when we sit with him? When we have decisions to make? When we struggle through things? Life is tough. Do we still come to him? My faith is that today people will encounter God. They'll encounter right now the presence and power of God as the word goes out, as the worship is gone. That people today won't just say, I have done church, but they'll say, I've been changed by the power and presence of God. But when we don't expect it, why would it happen? God, of course, sovereignly breaks in all the time, but there's something about being invited. It just attracts. These guys have got such an expectation that Peter, something amazing will happen. And God doesn't disappoint them. Who longs for encounters with God? Sure. You really do? Sure. Just start inviting him. Just start expecting to meet him. You know, he says, you've got to have faith. And faith is, one of the things of faith is believing in even the stuff you can't see. And you've got to believe that he hears you and that he'll answer you. So when you speak to him, you have to have faith that he's heard you. And so you come to him, Father, I'm desperate, I'm dry, I long to be with you. He longs to hear that. And as that happens, he starts to just be attracted by our expectation. And as we go out in the traffic, and even though the taxis cut us off, and God bless them, Lord, doesn't matter. We'll not let those things rob our expectation at any time, God, you can break in. He breaks in when we least expect it. Even now. Your expectation, right now, just right now, just experience Just a touch of God upon your life. Just stand quickly. Just stand quickly. Right now, I feel like God, there's some people here that have been dry, feel like they have not experienced God. Just quickly stand. There's a lot of people standing already. Just quickly close your eyes. Right now. Father, the hearts, no matter what, where we've come from, whether we've been busy, whether we've been engaged with ourselves, things, whether whatever we've been, whether we've lost our fellowship with you. Right now, we just trust. The touch of your presence, the touch of your power today upon these people's lives. We can't script it, we can't write it, we can't formulate it. It's supernatural, God. But we invite you, each one of those people, invite you now. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Just draw near to the King. It's like that incredible song that we sing, that I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for this thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we yearn to meet with you. Something like the people in Cornelius' house. Would you come refresh? Would you come and revive? Would you come strengthen? Would you release your life upon your people? In Jesus' name. Our expectation is his invitation. I spoke about Cornelius. You may be seated. He's invited all his friends. You know, he invites the lost. He's lost, but he invites the lost with him. Some of the meetings that I've been in where there's been the most power is when there's been the most lost there. And what do we want to do? We want to fill it with the most saved. We do need to be looking at that the people who are lost need to come in. Can you imagine? You might say they're Aurora and then there's just no power in the church. Those elders, they don't know. We have a role to play, because as we invite the lost, it attracts the power of God. As we come in, as we have a part to play, as we invite those people that need to hear the gospel, they come in, the attraction of the presence and power of God comes because he wants the sinner saved. And then we see something happens. He starts to confirm his word in extraordinary ways. People get healed, people get touched, visions come, angels get seen. I haven't seen an angel. But people tell me in our church that they've seen angels often. I haven't seen it. I'll probably also just fall down. I don't know what I'd do. But the supernatural starts to break out when the lost are drawn to Jesus. As the Son of Man is lifted high, men are drawn near to him and the power of God comes. Can you imagine this city? Maybe we're 1,500 people here. I don't know how many people are here now. If each of us just invited one a year. 5 years ago, this church was half the size. What would the next 5 years look like? Just one a year. Just one brother. Just one sister. Just one mate. Someone invited you one day. Some of you thought you were born Christian. No, you weren't. We were born into the church. I was in church for 27 years before I found Jesus in this city. But can you imagine what it's like? This church will get a reputation across the city in that place. And it already has. That's why it's growing like it is. But in that place, the power of God is so present. When the word is preached, when people sing, when people dance, when they talk, when they drink cappuccino, I feel made welcome. I get loved. I tell you, inviting the lost, like Cornelius does, attracts the power and presence of God. You know what else attracts the power and presence of God? Peter comes in, Cornelius falls down, oh, and worships him. And he said, stand up, I'm only a man. Peter is so aware that just weeks before he denied this very Jesus. Just weeks before he was sitting on the beach, crying, lost, lonely, outside. Jesus had to come, Peter, would you love my sheep? Peter, would you love the lambs? Peter, and God restores him. God's with him. Jesus is with him. They eat together. They have fellowship together. He knows he's just been restored through nothing that he's done. So there's nothing that Peter has that could cause this man to fall down his feet. I am only but a man. In Africa and in Asia, when we go to Pakistan and these places and preach, they come and they bring garlands of flowers and you look like interflora and it's all these things around you. And they go, oh, Rob is here or whoever's here. And they go over the top, but the man of God has come. And so there's this incorrect, like a guru thing that comes and you have to constantly break it down because they've come out of idol worship. And so they get, even though they mean right, they just always have this bent of falling in these places. So we have to bring correction. Thank you for honoring us, but we're only men like you. But in the Western church, it's the other way. We've lost all honor for those that bring the word of God. We've gone the other way. No, that's all hierarchical nonsense. He's just a man. Now there comes Rory, blah, blah, blah. No. There's a correct place of not worshiping them, but honoring. I love it when the way you honor people. You know, for me, this church is an incredible example to so many of how to correctly honor. Today, I'm so blessed to have Dave and Kathy here, my spiritual dad and mom. Rory here, who's been to me an apostle, who's spoken into my life so many times, and my oldest brother. I've got three of probably the four or five people who have most imparted their lives into my life here today, and I want to honor all three of you. Can I ask you to stand, Andre? This is my oldest brother. He's an unbelievable man. I crashed his car. I wrote it off. I've done so many things. I was a champion sinner. And this man is a man of grace. Unbelievable man of grace. He's a doctor. He's an unbelievable guy. He touches people every day and changes their lives. And their hearts get changed. Their lives get changed. Andre, I want to say to you, I don't know if you're allowed to prophesy over your brother. The best is to come. You're going to still buy now. China, it is all going to change. That still buy will become busy buy for the King. There is extraordinary outbreaks of grace that will come through you and life that will come in that little town, sleepy coastal town. I honor you, my brother. I don't know if you can honor but you. I could not have asked for a better older brother. Wiser, kinder, most gracious man. I love you. Dave and Kathy. Hi, can you just stand? You guys are heroes. You guys are heroes. I do not know people that are as fearless, as generous, as kind, as self-effacing people as you. They have paved the way. We have our 20th year anniversary in 2 weeks' time, 8 weeks' time for our church. Don't sit. They said yes to Jesus 21 odd years ago. Not to get saved, to say yes to the church. This year we'll celebrate something like 750,000 people to have gone through the life of our church. Because one couple said yes in a Muslim nation where it doesn't make sense to open their lives, to open their hearts. Let me say, the generations across the earth have been affected because of that decision. And we are so thankful that God would so graciously invite us into that story. We honor and bless you guys. Apostle to many. God bless you. Rory. I'll say only this, and I said it last year. Rory's got two more trips to do, and he's gone four times to the moon and back just to be with us in Qatar. You think you guys are just paying a ticket for him to fly? He has come nearly four times to the moon and back to be in a house where today there are multiple things happening everywhere. But it's because faithful men have come to lay down their pleasure. Five, how many kids, Rory? Four, five? Lots. I should ask Mel. She can remember everything. But we know it's at a price. And we honor you guys today. That's why it's a priority for us to be at this church. See, church needs to be a place where we don't honor people when they go and when they die. We need to honor them when they live. Last night, one of my friends died in Qatar, a home group leader. Nana oversees our finances. He passed away yesterday during the call. Actually, not last night, yesterday, about 11 o'clock. Maybe when we were shouting here for fear. About at that time, he died. Last week, Friday, when I was preaching in church, we're having our conference and we have 30 people from all around the world coming from these little church plants, and some of them can't afford to come. And I said to the church, wouldn't it be wonderful? You might not go on an apostolic trip, but you could sow to one of these men to come to this conference, to be so impacted by people and apostles and gifts, Ephesians 4 gifts, that they will change the world where they live in. I said, you might not be able to go, but could you sow? Straight after the meeting, this man who's going on Tuesday went for operation. This man who died yesterday came to me and said, Rob, I'm good for one ticket. Franch and Yolindi tells me at their anniversary, they're sitting recently, I've got to pay the bill. Around the corner, there's my friend David. David Rajan, Indian man. They went to pay the bill. Sorry, the bill's been paid. Who? By that man in the corner. Yesterday, he died. Our friends, don't wait. It's too late to honor when you should bring honor. Let us not be like the East in idol worship and oh, the big man of God, the pastor. And let us not be like the Western church that forget the gifts that God has given us. But let us bring honor where it's due. Because the church of God, where men are honored correctly, Cornelius wanted to worship. Peter said, stand up, I'm only a man. Whew, the power of God comes. I've got two more things and I'm finished. Cornelius is a generous man. Generosity reflects the heart of God like few things. When generosity starts to flow. Who was here yesterday morning to see Rory hand over that money for Karen's mother? For those who weren't here and went to the Impact Conference, can I ask you to please get those downloads for that specific session, whenever it was? Yesterday, and just how Rory committed the church from the registration offerings, and then men came running to pay the bill into the place of it. And suddenly where it went from 34 to 68 to 100 grand, whatever, I don't know what it's called, but extraordinary display of generosity. You know, this man is an unbeliever. He is not even saved and is generous. He knows and he recognizes the poor. Cornelius remembers the poor. When the church remembers the poor, when the church starts to reflect the heart of generosity, it attracts heaven. Do you think revival will come to a stingy people?
No way.
Revival comes to a generous people because they'll give it away. It'll not be about them, it'll be about the king. But the stingy people will make it about them. And look at the big man of God. No, this is about the king. And revival springs out, and you might think you have nothing to do. My sir and madam, I tell you, when generosity catches your heart, so does the kingdom in ways unexplained. And it attracts the power of God. Lord, 2 weeks ago, we had a big problem. Big problem. Someone emailed and said, first lay, one came. In 1 week, we got given 3 cars. I know you guys have given this problem recently too. It's a headache for a pastor. Well, now I'm a car dealer. What must I do? 3 cars. A lady emails me Friday night. I've just preached Friday night. She emails me, Rob, I was praying. I have a car to give away. Would you please pray and see who it must be given to? Hillet and I'm tired. It's a whole day, 10:30 Friday night. I'm just about asleep. And we start chatting and instantly God drops the name of a lady, a young Zulu girl, into my heart. Go to the elders, they witness the whole thing. I go back to the lady. She's a young girl. She's single. She's not wealthy. I say to her, why are you giving the car away? Are you leaving Qatar? Because sometimes people leave and it's too much of a mission. She says, no, I'm not leaving. I just felt God say to me, Cassie, would you release this car? Now, the next weekend, we give the car away, an unbelievable display of incredible kindness to this woman. She's this Zulu girl who comes with incredible distrust, and understandably so, of white people, and incredible distrust of perhaps South African white people. Now I have a South African pastor in a foreign land coming to say, God has spoken about you to give you a car. It shattered mindsets in her. It shattered. She said, this can't be happening. She phoned her mom in Peter Marisburg. Said, I've been given a car. She says, by who? She says, by a young white girl. She says, how's that possible? What are they trying to catch you? She says, no, mom. All they've caught is the heart of God. The young girl, the Zulu lady, was driving a rental car. And on the Wednesday, so 2 days before the Friday, a friend of her got a new car. And as a friend got a new car, she said, oh God, Sam's got a new car. It's so beautiful. Lord, what? Can't I have a new car one day? 48 hours later, a young lady writes me an email to say, I have a car to give away. Within a week of her prayer, she receives an Audi A1. She's driving this funky car. It's unbelievable. Another man says, I have a car to give. Where do we give? Where there's a family struggling, we give them the car. They drove for 3 hours around the city in their new car, just weeping because they're enjoying, they can't believe God would give them a car. When the generosity of God comes to God's people, the king's heart breaks out in power. None of this church mass nonsense. None of this I got to keep for me and myself. Me and myself and I, the three favorite people. No, the King, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and His people. Such a revelation when generosity breaks out of the Father. Such a revelation of Jesus. Such a revelation of God who's given Himself and everything He has for us. I want to say, a church that attracts the presence and power of God is a generous people. 3CI, you're a generous people, but can I charge you never to go back on this thing? Can I charge you never to shrink back? Can you actually try and outgive God? See if you win. Tell us the story. Because He's never lost. And the last one, we see Peter come and he starts to talk to them and he says, you know what has happened? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how He anointed Him to do the good, to heal all who are under the power of the devil. And he starts, devil, and he starts to preach the gospel. He starts to lift up Jesus. He starts to preach about the wonder of the cross. He starts to preach about, you know, of all the testimonies. He starts to preaching about, I was a witness of it, and he testifies. I want to say a church that attracts the presence and the power of God is a church that lifts the name of Jesus high. As we lift the name of the Son, such a magnet for the Spirit of God to come. Through CI. Can we keep on lifting up the name of Jesus? Let me tell you, it's becoming increasingly rare amongst the churches across the world. It's all sorts of other things. No, no, Peter just comes. He says, this is what we do. And he brings such focus. Adrian, if you guys are going to plant a church, Stellenbosch needs Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed with power. You know what happens? The Spirit of God starts to fall. Spirit of God starts to fall. I want to say to you today that you are indeed a church that has been transformed. But this is one level of glory. There is so much more to come. Can you imagine a church that starts to impact a city that transforms a nation? Father, may this church be a church that impacts a city, that transforms a nation, that impacts a region and a continent. Yeah. I want to say to you today, if you're desiring something more of the presence of power of God in your life, would you stand? And I feel like one or two of us have made little adjustments in our hearts. Okay, Rory, can I pray? Is that all right?
when the Holy Spirit came, was such a smearing, such a covering. Kings in the olden days were anointed with oil. Shepherds would come with the oil and would come and smear the sheep's ears, the tick bites and the wounds and the heels, where the healing was needed. And they would come and cover them with the anointing. And there's such a covering that God wants to bring by His Spirit. Such a healing, such a comforter, He's the empower. Why does He come? Why does He fall? He comes so that we can be witnesses. He comes to transform us. He comes to change our word from normal word to supernatural word. He starts to change our ways that we are. When we touch people, some things happen. He starts to transform everything about us. And this church is a church transformed.